Canada to find the best tillage tools for your fields.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. 22 minutes now before the hour of 11 o'clock. 83 degrees and climbing here at our studios. And have the opportunity and pleasure now to visit with Ernie Robinson, the commander of Post 7224,
that's
BFW.
Correct.
How are you, Ernie?
I'm doing fine.
Nice to see you.
Still above ground, getting hotter every day.
As long as we're above ground, we're doing okay.
That's right.
What's new and exciting going on in your world?
Well, is the summertime now is our real busy part for our post. We have done a lot of events already. We do 3 events total in Nebraska City to help out that VFW post over there.
I want you to touch on this for a second. So your post officially is in Shenandoah?
Shenandoah, correct.
But you work with Red Oak and
yes.
Nebraska City. You kind of work with the other posts around. Tell me
right.
about that.
That's just because, we work with one another. We're, help each other out. Like I've said before when I was sure how we like to help out vets, but I had one person that said I assume he was a vet, heard about me, I think, last time I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated to put him down, but he wanted windows put in his house. He wanted us to foot the whole bill for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, no, we can't afford that. That's more money than we got right now to help our fellow brothers and sisters in time of needs. It's basically we help those out that don't have the privileges of using the VA extension, hospital and that, or the clinic, and they have unexpected hospital bills. We may not be able to pay the whole thing off because we do have a cap on how much we spend. The only thing that we go outside our cap on is which on 2 different events, we built a ramp for vets that needed a ramp where the VA couldn't get to them right away.
Yeah.
And other than that, we have a cap on what we do. And if that pays off the problem, we're happy to do that. If not, that helps that vet not having to pay the whole bill.
Yeah. Now, to be a member of the VFW, you have requirements.
That is correct. You have to be a combat vet. There's ways of doing it, especially the Navy was the hardest one to get that. But after they opened the blue water and they have this expedition medal for top secret missions and that qualifies you for the VFW.
Okay.
I've got one of our members. I'm going to put a plug in for him.
Okay.
He's the Casey manager in Essex.
Okay.
And his wife is the Casey manager in Stanton.
Okay.
They're both Army. He did go overseas, but she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so he joined our post. And I have a classmate that I graduated with that went in the Marine Corps, but after going through basic training, a month and a half into active duty, he screwed himself up and got a medical discharge. He so bad wanted to join the VFW, but he didn't qualify.
Right.
Because he didn't have some sort of a combat ribbon.
And that's the requirement.
That is the requirement, yeah. And I myself like to take people for the words, but we do request that those that are joined show us their DD Form 214,
mm-hmm.
and we give that back. We used to keep them. They want us to keep them, but then we start telling them, hey, that's personal information there.
Mm-hmm.
And if something happens to our post, somebody breaks in, that information gets put out. And that, so we just look at it, verify that he does qualify, and then we give it back to him or we destroy it.
So what would you say to the veteran that would be qualified to join? Why would be important for them to join the VFW? Why would you want them?
A lot of the young people that I have talked to, the first thing out of their mouth is, what can you do for me? And my response is, it isn't what we can do for you right now, so say. It's what you can do to help your fellow brothers and sisters in time of need. But whether you're a member of the post or not, and you come in time of need, and we can help you without putting our life in danger, we will help you to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my 4th year as commander for that post. And over these 4 years, I probably gave out over 3 dozen applications. I've only had 3 returned.
Hmm.
I tell the people, if you don't want to join, I understand. A lot of people don't like it. I'm not going to put a gun to your head and say, hey, you qualify, you got to join.
Right.
I want people in our post that are willing to help their brothers and sisters in time of need, help us out with our events that we do, and be part of the post. because we are an active post. And I used to go up to the state fair until this new outfit bought them out and shortened the Veterans Day parade a fourth of what it was.
Yeah.
And the story that I was told on why they did that was, well, people said it had these big vehicles and floats, had trouble driving through the streets. I says, looky, if they made it to the fairgrounds through the Des Moines traffic, the streets on the fairground, there is no traffic on there. And if they can't make those corners, they better give up driving. And the guy just kind of realized he'd been had, you know. And so for us to drive from clear down here up to Des Moines, it's not worth the time and the hassle. And what we have on my truck for our parade up front is the kneeling soldier. And we have name tags hanging on that gun. And a couple of those name tags are from members that actually did give the offer of sacrifice. When the local families heard what we were doing and saw what we did, they donated them to us.
Wow.
And I literally had people stop me up there at State Fair so they could take a picture of the front of the truck. Because besides the Newland Soldier, then that's where we got the American flag flying above him.
Mm-hmm.
And that. And I literally had people step out there and made me stop to take pictures of it. And I've had it happen here in some of the local places I've been at, too.
Well, I see you around at some local, a couple weeks ago at Junction Days here in Red Oak. So.
Matter of fact, at Junction Days, when we got done with that, that evening we went to Nebraska City because they moved their Independence Day from the 4th up to the 27th. So we was over there that night. So that particular day, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get things going for Junction Day. And then we went over there, and by the time I got back home, my head didn't hit the pillow till 11:45. It was a long day for this whole guy.
That's a long day.
Yes.
But good work that's being done. So just so people know that you're out there and they'll see you out and about. But now talk to me about some of the events maybe that you've already done or that you're looking forward to.
The Arbor Day Parade in Nebraska, we've done that. Memorial Day, Junction Day, and Independence Day for Nebraska City, Villisca Heritage Day. And now at the end of the month here, we're going to have the Sydney Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And will
you be there every night at the Sydney Rodeo?
Yes, because me and three of my guys are be part of the color guards that go in there at the beginning of the rodeo.
Okay.
And we also will have a booth there to sell our raffle tickets and to try to get memberships there.
Yeah.
And this year we're going to share the tent with the Fremont County VA Extension Office guy. We've always been side by side, and when we go in, we'd have to have somebody there to watch our booth because the money from taking raffles and donations and that, and he would step over there. So I asked him this year if we could just share the same tent. And that he says, sure, that'd make it a lot easier. So we'll be with him wherever he's located at. And then we'll be in the parade that afternoon on the 1st. That's when they have their parade for the rodeo. Then after that, we got the Essex Bull Riding and Essex Labor Day Parade. The bull riding is that Saturday before the parade.
Mm-hmm.
We're the color guard for that. Then that weekend, that following Saturday, is the Hamburg Popcorn Parade. And then after that, we go back over to Nebraska City for their Applejack Parade. And then we have the Shanfest there at the end of September, Shanfest. Then our last event of the year is when we go up to Council Bluffs for their Labor Day Parade, which is usually right before November 11th.
Well, you are busy, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Will you be in all those, or will you rotate it around through your members of your post?
No, I will be there because I don't allow anybody to drive my truck. My insurance wouldn't cover it if they got in an accident.
I see.
But, to me, being the commander, you're a leader. And when I was in the service and was an NCO and was put in charge of things, I got myself in trouble a lot of time because I was going to get some guys and go do this. Well, I was told the first time this happened, I was to get four guys and go clean the latrine. Well, I got three guys myself, and we went in and started cleaning the latrine. The boss comes in and says, Robinson, what are you doing? I says, I'm in here what you said, sir, cleaning the latrine. He says, no, I told you to get four guys. You stand here in the doorway and watch them. Well, that really isn't me.
Like to get in there and get involved
with
it.
Because I don't ask anybody to do anything that I myself could not do or wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of got me in trouble, and I could go into a lot of stories when I became a supervisor on how things went and that because I treat people the way I like to be treated. And the last place I was at, I told the guys, as long as you do your job, I won't be bugging you. And I had this airman. He was a Southern, single child, 21 years old, and threw tantrum tantrums like three-year-olds.
Uh-oh. That didn't go over well with Robinson, no, did it?
They sent me over to my department because my department had all the misfits in it. But we got along good because I told them how I walk and everything. And I was a printer at that time. So my plate maker didn't have anybody to make the plates. So I told him, this is where you're going to be working. Showed him how to go about doing it. I says, now get to work. And I started to walk away, and he just sat there. And I turned around. I says, airman, get to work. He just sat there. And next thing, I had him by his blouse, about a foot off the ground, banging him against the wall. And I says, airman, when I talk to you, you will listen. And the boss came walking by. And this is the honest God's truth. He says, what's going on? I says, a little discipline, sir. He says, don't leave no marks then. Wow. I turned around, threw this kid back down in the chair, and he started working. I had him for about 2 months. He worked great. He'd come in every morning. If there's any problems, he'd come get me, and I explain. And then all of a sudden, they put him over in another department. About a week later, that staff sergeant came over and says, here, you can have him back. He won't work for me. And he noticed we didn't have a plate maker yet. He went right over there and sat down and started doing. And that staff sergeant looked at him, looked at me, and walked away. And I walked over to him. I says, airman, what's going on? He says, they didn't show me the respect like you do. And so, I mean, respect can go a long way.
Yeah.
But that's just some of my war stories.
There you go.
But like I say,
if you see Ernie out and about, talk to him about some of his stories. So.
I when I was in Southeast Asia, I was an aircraft sheet metal specialist. And as I was telling this one guy, I told him, he asked me what I did. I said, well, I patched bullet holes. He says, oh, you was a medic? I go, yeah, medic to airplanes. I patched their bullet holes and kept them going. But it was, you know, something we did over there and that. But
so tell me, I mean, obviously you have a whole list of events and festivals you go to get the word out about what you're doing, talk about your members. How do you raise funds? Because you talk about donating to people and helping people. Mm-hmm. What do you do to raise funds for the post?
Well, when we're out and about, like when we're doing our poppies, which we usually do on Shanfest, we have a free will donation bucket and that. And this raffle that I'll be talking about shortly, the profit we make off of that goes to help our fellow brothers and sisters. But we've got one gentleman, and I won't name him, but here several years ago, he was able to get 100% disability on his hearing alone, just on his hearing, which you hardly ever hear that. Mm-hmm. And he was so tickled to death that he asked the Shenandoah VA Extension, he says, you know, I got more money, I know what to do with. He says, I want to donate to a military organization. Who would you recommend? Well, it just so happened that the head service officer there was a member of the VFW, and she knew what we did compared to some of the other local things, and she told him the VFW. So this gentleman started off giving us $200 every month, which we put towards our fund to help our fellow brothers and sisters. And I think it's during the start of the second year, one of the organizations that he was donating to also started trying to hit him up for more money. And that made him mad. So now, instead of getting $200 every month, we get $300 every month from him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we use. And a lot of that basically built the one ramp for this one gentleman over in Farragut that had a real bad accident. They said he never walked, but he is walking.
That's good.
But he had to have a ramp because he had a porch that had three steps going up to it, from the kitchen to the garage. And the only way he could go up and down those steps was to sit down like a little kid, like a two-year-old going down the steps or going up the steps. Hmm. Then he had to fight to get himself back up. And after getting that ramp made for him, it really made a difference for him.
Good.
But with that, like I say, we got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, Lordy, we got unlucky number 13. Well, we got 14 because on Veterans Day, November 11th, that's when we have a feed down there in Shenandoah for our vets, where our vets get to eat free. Then we ask the public for a free will donation, which goes towards helping our vets. And our food comes from Johnson Locker. Put a plug in for Johnson Locker.
There you go. And you... you have the raffle. The proceeds go to this, right?
Right.
So tell me about the raffle. It's ongoing now.
Yeah, it's ongoing now. We usually start in the Sydney Rodeo, but with the Sydney Rodeo being at the end of the month, which our meeting would have been the last Thursday of the month, which would be during the rodeo, so we're not going to hold a meeting. So we got everything ready last month.
Okay.
And over the years, we've always bought some form of a gun for hunting purposes. And lately, some of the people say, well, I really didn't want that type of gun. So last year, we started brainstorming, and we decided to come up with a gift card at Mort's Gun Shop. This way they could go in and get whatever they want with it then. Mm-hmm. So we've got a $1,200 gift card from Mort's Gun Shop there in Shenandoah. The gentleman that won it last year ended up buying 4 handguns.
Oh, wow.
And it cost him $100 to get to finish getting everything. 2 for himself, and he's a DNR instructor for hunter education. And like me, he helps people that want to learn how to shoot handguns. Mm-hmm. So he got a couple. He got a revolver and a semi-automatic .22, so that people can feel the difference between a revolver and a semi-automatic, mm-hmm. to teach them how to shoot in that. And well, there's a story on that I could tell you about Grizzly's gal. I got to know her, and she had these 3 little ladies. They had lost her husband. They didn't want to move off the farm. So they wanted to buy a handgun, and she asked if I would teach them how to use it. I says, yeah. Well, none of these ladies have ever shot a gun. And to me, I tell a person that's never shot a gun, start off with a revolver. The recoil is nothing like an automatic. But they all bought 9mm automatics. And so I made them come to my place with their manual, and I made them learn how to break the gun down and to clean it. And this one lady says, well, why do we have to do that? I says, ma'am, that's one thing they teach in the military. A dirty gun will kill you. A clean gun will protect you. Okay. So when we went out to shoot then, I had silhouettes when we were about 10 feet away from them. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, okay, ladies, you've never shot this type of gun before, so this is what you got to do. If someone's coming at you, point at the family pride. And this one lady goes, oh, that's so gross. I said, you'll understand, ma'am. But she wanted to go her own way. So when I had those all shoot, 2 of the ladies, they weren't grouped, but all the rounds were inside the carcass. Mm-hmm. The lady that did it her way had 1 in the head, and everything else would have braced the shoulders or opened the open space. So I told her, I says, ma'am, now, you want to listen to what someone that knows what they're talking about do? And she just looked at me and looked at those targets. Says, okay. So I put up fresh targets 1 more time through, and hers was just like the other 2. And I says, see? And the thing is, too, ladies, if I was coming at you and you're pointing at my family pride, I'd be hesitant whether to continue on or not. But let's, you know, but then our second prize, you know, back to, is a Pit Boss 1000 D3 electric smoker that, mm-hmm. used the pellets. That we got that through TSC.
Okay.
And then our third prize, which was donated by one of our members, he had bought this Black & Decker. I think it's an 18-volt, a cordless drill with a charger. After he bought it, he decided he really didn't like it. He didn't want it. It's never been out of the box, so he donated that for the museum.
Okay.
For the raffle. And which I tell people too, that I will, if someone wants to buy tickets and they don't know any vets from down in the Shenandoah or the Red Oak area, they can call me and I'll meet them wherever they want to sell them a ticket.
So how do they, if you know someone that's in the VFW, they can?
Yeah, they have tickets.
Okay.
And everything.
How much are the tickets?
The tickets are $5 a ticket.
Okay.
They had, over the last couple of years, they thought about doing $10 tickets. I says, guys, we're having enough problems making a profit. You know, a lot of the people I sell to, they'll buy 1 or 2 tickets because 10 is all they can afford. So if that's what we're going to charge, they can only buy 1 ticket.
Mm-hmm.
By keeping it 5, we can sell more tickets and still make the money. So we've been keeping it at $5 because, you know, the cost of living is going up.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. But, and that's a subject I could get on. We'd be here all day. But because I don't agree with those that are complaining about it. But this drawing will go through November 11th, which will be at our Veterans Day meal. And at that time, we'll get somebody that's there eating,
mm-hmm.
to do the drawing. And I always joke about telling the people, I says, for the top prize, there's one that's taped to the bottom of that can. I reach down there and pull that sucker up. They always look at me, and then I start laughing. I said, no, I'm joking. There's no tape ones in there. But that's our main fundraiser is our raffle.
And then that money, like you say, that you make on that, it goes back into some of the stuff from
helping
your other veterans that may be in need. So.
Right.
And by the way, we're visiting with Ernie Robinson, who is the commander of VFW Post number 7224. Located in Shenandoah, right?
Right, in Shenandoah,
you work with other posts around.
Right. And when we have our district meeting, it's up at Harlan.
Okay.
That's where we go for our district meeting. And we used to travel from post to post, but some people thought it would be better to have it more centrally located, which Oakland was the prime place to go. But Oakland would have to rent the building. Where Harlan, we don't have to rent the building that we meet in.
Okay.
So that kind of settled that situation.
And if people want to, if you have people that would be qualified to be a member, you'd like to talk to them as well.
To talk to them, and I'll meet them anywhere they want to meet at. Driving don't bother me a bit. I might be getting up there in age, but I can still handle the wheels pretty good.
All right. So, Ernie, you're telling me that you had a poem that you wanted to read here before we wrap up today. So tell me about this.
This poem states what a lot of civilians don't understand, why a vet won't talk to them. And this poem is written by a fellow soldier. And there's a lady that I met here several weeks ago down in Shan at the Veterans Museum. And she was telling me about her son. He'd been in the Army for 13 years, 5 tours in Afghanistan. Mm. On his 5th tour, he got wounded. And in the process of the surgery, the Army surgeon screwed up and cut the nerves in his leg, which made his leg no feeling. And then Uncle Sam said, sorry, we can't use you anymore, and kicked you out. He was going for 20. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, in the Army, there's more than handling a gun. There's other jobs he probably could have done to finish out his 20-year hitch. But Uncle Sam said no. They kicked him out. And she said when he came home, he wouldn't talk to nobody. So I took her back to our office there at the museum where we meet at, and I had her read this poem. And when she turned around, she had tears in her eyes.
Yeah.
And she said, I understand now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets to me, too.
Yeah.
But
it's an emotional thing, that's for sure.
Yeah. And it's written by Calvin Sanders. Now, I don't know where he's from. Or I can't even remember how I came across this poem. Somebody gave it to us, but the title is, Unless You've Been a Soldier. And I quote, unless you've been a soldier, you just won't understand the things that we have seen and done in the service of our land. We have trained to live in combat, to cope with awful sights, then suddenly be seen by anyone that shouldn't be seen by anyone and keep you awake at night. We don't discuss the wounds we have to the body or to the mind. We just put our hurts behind us and turn our memories to blind. We are proud we served our country and remember those we lost. For the freedom that you have today, they paid the ultimate cost. And that's so true that...
kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Kind of sums it up. My oldest daughter's husband's grandfather, he was in World War II. He was in the Army. He was a gun toter, gravel pounder. And one day, while he was still here on Earth, he's upstairs looking at us now. I was able to talk to him. And we started visiting. And his unit was the one that hit Hitler's mansion up in the Alps. And they were taking all the ammunition and the weapons and everything and putting them in a pile, and they was going to set them afire and burn them, destroy them. And their OIC, which is officer in charge, told the guys, if you want a souvenir, grab one. It will be okay. We'll give you a letter to take it home. So he went up there and grabbed a German Mauser off the stack. And then he went into the mansion. I was walking through the mansion, he was telling me, went into Hitler's office, and there was an aerial shot of that mansion up in the Alps, and he grabbed that. And I asked him, why that picture? This way I could show people that I was actually there. But when he came back, he lived out on a farm south of Shenandoah, or Essex, north, well, actually northeast of Essex. And he said, I put that gun in a closet upstairs, and it had never seen daylight since. Now, this had been back in 1945.
Wow.
And this had been in the early 2000s when I was talking to him. I says, well, did that have shells in it? He goes, he kind of looked at me. He says, you know, I never even bothered to check. I says, you know, from then to then and everything, those shells can be very dangerous because ammunition, when it gets old, almost comes like nitroglycerin. I says, if somebody goes up there and opens that breech up real fast, it could cause those rounds to go off. Could I take a look at it to see, and I can get rid of those? Well, he kind of hem-hawed around, so I knew that wasn't going to go anywhere. But we talked for a good half hour, 45 minutes, and got up, and as I started to leave, my son-in-law's dad came over to him. He says, that's the most we've heard him talk about his time in the service. And my response to him was, it's because it's one vet to another. Because we will talk to one another more easier than we can talk to someone that's never been there and seen or done what we've done.
Yeah.
My wife's got a cousin that was in the Army. He was in transportation. He was a very strong Baptist. Good for him. And but he never fired a gun the whole time he's in Vietnam. But transporting supplies to bases and everything, the stuff that he went through and what he saw, the after effects, is what gave him his PTSD.
Yeah.
And that he suffers too with this day.
Wow.
So it's something that, as they say, unless you've been there, it's kind of hard to.
It's part of why it's important to seek out VFW and organizations like that to help with that, to have those conversations,
right,
to be able to talk to people.
And with the suicide rate being as high as it is, it makes me wonder that these psychiatrists that are supposed to be treating these guys that has PTSD and suicidal thing, you know, how can they really relate to that problem if they haven't been there and saw it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could go into stuff that I had to do, but that's beyond the point. But it's just something that people have to understand, that to get them to open up. And I have talked to many vets that, and I was able to talk them down.
Yeah.
Because we related.
Yeah. Very good. Commander of the VFW Post number 7224, Ernie Robinson with me. He's running the show down there.
Yeah.
What else do we need to touch on, Ernie? If they see you out and about, say hi.
See out and about.
Visit.
If you,
buy a raffle ticket.
Buy a raffle ticket, because I got them in both my vehicles. So I carry them with me all the time. And if you want to be a member, I carry memberships with me, mm-hmm. applications. So we need to get the young vets involved. It seems like the younger generation don't want to get involved. And that's hurting, because that's why a lot of these posts are starting to fold up, because us Vietnam vets, we're starting to get old and crippled up, and we can't do a lot of the stuff, and that's what's hurting. I mean, in the last 3 years that I've been in this area, there has been 4 posts that have folded up: Greenfield, Corning, Corinda, and Red Oak was the last one that I know of.
Yeah.
And it's because they can't get members to come there. And as we get older, we have problems driving.
Mm-hmm.
One of my members, for a while, because he's having some eye problems, he couldn't drive at night. So he wasn't able to come to our meetings. But now his eyesight's better, and he's our quartermaster.
Okay. Very good. But, Ernie, it's a pleasure to visit with you, and I hope people will stop by and visit with you. And at the,
when the weather gets nicer out, you might see me in front of TSC or Bumgard's, selling raffle tickets and trying to do, because I, like I said, I don't have no problem getting out, and I love talking to people.
Well, I noticed that, Ernie. very good. Nice to see you, Ernie.
Nice
to see
you. Have a good day.
Ernie Robinson with me this morning.
KCSI-FM, Valeska, Red Oak, and Atlantic. KOAK-AM, Red Oak, Glenwood, and Shenandoah. Thanks for listening to Country Sunshine Radio.
The Trump agenda. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I'm proud of what we've done to help American families see safer streets, and to have a fair shot at the life they're working to build.
And acting U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche says these are not Republican or Democrat issues, but he's being pressed at his confirmation hearing on several issues, including the handling of the Epstein files release, telling lawmakers that mistakes, including unredacted victims' names, were fixed as quickly as possible.
And there are Epstein victims in the room and on Capitol Hill today. Dick Durbin, the ranking member, pressed Blanche to personally meet with some of those victims. He said he can't if they have counsel, but he said there are representatives from the Justice Department that are ready to meet with them today.
Fox's David Spunt in Washington, a former federal prosecutor tapped for a top intelligence post, is also on the Capitol Hill grill.
Manhattan U.S. Attorney and former SEC Chair Jay Clayton tried to assuage concerns that he didn't have enough national security experience for the role of Director of National Intelligence.
I've acted as the principal liaison with senior officials at Treasury, State, and the Department of War on matters of national security. As chairman of the SEC, I advise the intelligence community on various matters.
The Democratic ranking member on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Mark Warner, has expressed concerns about Clayton's experience.
You commit that the ODNI's decisions and analysis will remain free from political pressure and conspiracy theories.
Clayton said the job is to give the president and lawmakers the best prepared intelligence he possibly can.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. The U.S. launching rare daytime strikes on Iran after four nights of airstrikes.
The narrative from the U.S. is that they have been hitting the capabilities of Iran to menace shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, and that follows seven commercial ships that were hit crossing the strait. U.S. Admiral Brad Cooper says nearly a dozen crew members are missing, killed or injured by the Iranian strikes.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Tel Aviv. The president says U.S. strikes will intensify. America is listening to Fox News.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.